and during conversation with her today, in which we were talking about some problems that she'd had and her concern relative to having the right relationship with God and others, she determined that she had some doubts about whether or not her baptism was for the right purpose, and so she wanted to be sure and was baptized this afternoon. And I wanted to tell you that and let you know so that you can be praying with all of us for her, and that she will be able to live a life that's an example and a life that's worthwhile in the Lord's kingdom. I appreciate the fact that Raybo led singing tonight. We appreciate the job that Vondel has done throughout the year. Vondel is sick tonight. Raybo has been one of our adopted students for 4 years. In fact, Judy and I will be losing four who will be graduating this year, four adopted students. That sets a record. We had three of our own in the Christian College at once, and now we had four that are graduating this year. And Raybo's one of them, and we are thankful for the progress that so many of the students have made in so many ways and to have to part with them. I count an occasion such as this an opportunity instead of a responsibility. I always enjoy having an opportunity to preach God's word, and especially to an audience such as this. I realize that there are some of you here who will be graduating who will not be in services here many more times, that I will not have an opportunity to address you many more times, and that makes me just a little bit more serious tonight than I might otherwise be. I want to discuss something that I think is probably one of the most important subjects that can be discussed. And I'm sure that really nothing I will say tonight is new. Those of you, especially who've been here for 4 years, have probably heard almost everything that I'll say tonight said at least once or more, and yet I make no apology for that because we're talking about something that's important. If I were to ask you the question tonight, are you in love with yourself? How would you answer that question? I believe, without thinking it through, that most of us would immediately answer no. If we were talking about someone else, we might say, well, that person is in love with himself. But I'm not for sure that no is exactly the answer that's pleasing in the sight of God. Back about 10 or 12 years ago, I received a letter from a college asking me to be on their lectureship program. And they assigned the subject, as many of the lectureship committees always do. The theme of the program that year at this particular college was joy. And my subject that was written out on that sheet of paper, that letter when I got it, was joy comes from loving self. And my first thought was, they've gone crazy. My second thought was, what am I going to talk about? But the more I began to look at that and think about it, the more I realized that there is a sense in which joy can come from loving self. One passage that caught my attention as I began to study that subject and has continued to stick in the back of my mind is in Galatians 6. First 10 verses of that chapter are very important and teach a lot of lessons. But I have reference tonight particularly to verses 3 and 4. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And I realized immediately that there is a sense in which the Bible says that we can have joy in having the proper relationship with self. And so as I began to analyze that situation and prepare for that particular occasion, and as I have looked at this subject over the last 10 or 12 years, I'm convinced that there are two kinds of self-love. One is condemned, the other is commanded. One is dangerous, whereas the other is necessary. And I hope when you leave here tonight that you will understand the distinction between the two and realize that there is a type of self-love that is so needed. You and I are all aware that a person who is stuck up is a problem. One who walks around with his nose up in the air is certainly not one who usually has many friends. One who thinks he is better than somebody else is not liked or appreciated. God's word definitely condemns that kind of self-love. It seems to me that this kind of self-love might be defined with three words: pride, boastful, and selfish. Now, there is a type of pride that's necessary that will filter into our discussion in the latter part of the lesson, but there is also a type of pride that is so dangerous, in the sense that a person is so proud that he thinks he's better and will not admit his mistakes, will not develop the characteristic of meekness and humility and gentleness in his association with others. That kind of pride is in that list given in Romans 1:30, where a person can become so bad that God will give him up to a reprobate mind. The problem of boasting is certainly a problem. You and I just don't like or appreciate, and I'm convinced that God doesn't like or appreciate somebody who's always boasting about, look what I did, look how much I can do, I. And usually the person who is that boastful will take credit for something that someone else has done, and many times take credit for what God has done instead of giving him the glory and the praise. Again, the boaster is condemned in Romans 1 and also in 2 Timothy 3, where the person who is evil and worldly is described. And then there is that characteristic of selfishness. We live at a time when, if you get outside the boundaries of God's people, you hear so many say, look out for number one. You've got to take care of yourself. Put yourself first. When the Bible teaches just the opposite of that. In fact, one of the prerequisites to becoming a Christian is denying self in order to be able to pick up and take the cross and follow after Jesus. So a self-love that includes a false pride and a boastful attitude and selfishness is condemned and not needed by any of us. Three examples in the book of Luke remind us of this kind of person. The rich man in Luke 12 who had such a big harvest and said, boy, let me tear down my barns and build bigger barns so that I can put it up and have it for myself. And I'll say, soul or self, you've got what you need. Be at ease. Take it easy. God called that man a fool. Luke 16, there's another rich man who was so concerned about his own selfish desires that he did not pay attention to Lazarus, who wanted nothing more than the crumbs. And you remember the predicament of his spirit after he died. In Luke 18, there is the Pharisee who thanked God that he was not like the publican and almost said, God, you ought to be thankful I'm on your side. Look how good I am and what I do. And God's word reveals in that chapter that it was the publican on the other side who was so humble and respectful of God that he would not even look up as he prayed, that it was he who went down blessed instead of the Pharisee. Now, folks, that kind of self-love is condemned. And a person who practices that approach to life is going to be miserable in his own thinking, unliked by his associates, and certainly not have God's approval. On the other hand, there is a type of love of self which not only is good but is necessary. If you and I are going to be pleasing to God, if we're going to serve one another, and if we're going to have the peace of mind that passeth all understanding, where we can pillow our heads at night in peace and rest. And I guess if I were going to try to define this kind of self-love in a short definition, I would use a twofold definition: self-respect and self-respect.
esteem. I'm not for sure that it's possible for us to bring anybody else to respect us until we first respect ourselves. Yes, God's Word says in Romans 12 that a man ought not to think more highly of himself than he should, but I think if you'll read that entire chapter and put it in the entire context, that it also says a person should not think more lowly of himself than he ought. The very fact that you and I are made in the image of God ought to start us in the direction of having a little bit of self-respect. Realizing that there is something that dwells within my body and in your body that is eternal, that shall go to God and live somewhere in the eternity, ought to cause us to realize that we are more important than any other part of God's creation. And I'm not important because of what I am, separate and apart from God. I'm not important in the sense of boasting in a false pride, but I'm important in the sense that I was created in the image of God, and that I need to have some self-respect. Self-respect may be one of the key factors to keeping our bodies healthy and pure. If we don't respect ourselves, why should we buffet our bodies daily? 1 Corinthians 9:27. And be reminded that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Having self-respect is going to determine many of the decisions, or at least color those decisions that we make relative to food, exercise, disease, and any other factors that might indirectly affect the health of the body. Self-respect is going to affect how we look at our souls. You see, God thinks that your soul is more important than the whole world. If a man gain the whole world and lose his soul, he's lost it all. And if you don't have respect for yourself and realize that you are more than mere animal, that you are more than all the other parts of God's creation, and do not believe and understand that there is that soul that shall never die, how are you going to make the right kind of decision spiritually? Self-respect. And self-respect definitely is going to affect your mind and how you use it and control it. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, Proverbs 4:23. The attitude that you have toward yourself, toward education, opportunities, all of the things in life that affect you, will affect your mind, your soul, and your body. You see why we need to have that kind of self-love, self-respect. Many times we will meet temptations in life where somebody says, well, who cares, or what the difference? Nobody's going to know. But if you have respect for yourself, you will at least say to yourself, if you don't make the words for someone else to hear, but I would know. And I know God would know. And I have enough self-respect for myself that I'm just not going to do that. I know it's not the thing to do, and I have some self-respect, and I'm not going to let myself get into that. Self-respect, that kind of self-love is so needed. And then self-esteem. Again, emphasizing what we've said already two or three times, that each one of us is important. I believe that I'm important in the sight of God. I believe I'm important to my family. I believe I'm important to my friends, to the work of the church. And there are so many that are important to me in these different relationships that I've just mentioned. And each one of you who's here tonight could say exactly the same thing I've said about myself in talking about yourself. And if you don't believe that, you're not going to go very far in life. You see, God's Word says, if you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor as you should. Love your neighbor as yourself is the second great commandment of Matthew 22:40. And had you ever stopped to think that Ephesians 5 says to the husband, if you don't love yourself, you can't love your wife? Paul said, husbands, love your wives as your own body. You think maybe one of the reasons we have a lot of problems in marriages sometimes is because the people don't have self-respect and then have difficulty because of that. in loving each other. And then in 1 John 4:20, if we don't love our brothers, we can't love God. And if you put these last three or four passages together, God's Word saying, if you don't love yourself and respect yourself as one created in the image of God, you can't love God. If you don't love this creature whom God made, how can you love the Creator who made him or made her? Paul told the young preacher Timothy, take heed to yourself and the doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:16. To elders in Acts 20:28, take heed to yourselves and to the flock. To teachers over in Romans 2, he said, you're going to teach somebody else and then turn around and do the same thing yourself. And the gist of that is you've got to have the right attitude yourself and do right yourself before you're going to be able to influence others. And that can only be done with the right kind of self-esteem. There was a long line at a place where there was one job available for some young person. This one particular young person was way back in the line, 15 or 20 people. He slipped out of the line and slipped up to the table where the person was interviewing and whispered in that person's ear, don't hire anybody till you've talked to me. Who got the job? I don't remember much about Shakespeare, but one of the few things I remember is that little statement, to thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day. Thou canst not then be false to any man. And one of my favorite statements in all of literature is in Mark Conley's play, Green Pastures, where little Noah says, I ain't much, but I's all I got. I ain't much, but I's all I got. I'm me. You're you. And when you and I can have that kind of self-esteem, now remember, not pride, boasting, or selfishness, but self-esteem because of who we are and what we can become with God's help, we can affect every phase of our life and be what God wants us to be. I think it may all be summed up in a verse that's probably one of the favorite verses of most of us here tonight, Philippians 4:13. Paul did not say, I can do all things and put a period. But he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And young people, and those of us that are just a little bit older, there are not many things that we need to learn more than to learn that the right kind of self-respect and self-esteem is going to have its effect on what we do in life, whether it's the test in the classroom, the sports on the field, the business job tomorrow, our families tonight, the work of the church all the time, whatever it is. Let every man prove his own work, being able to do things through Christ who strengthens us. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself. In other words, he can love and appreciate himself because what he's been able to do with God's help, with Christ's help, and can live in self-respect and self-esteem. And I am completely convinced that if you really have self-respect and self-esteem, that you'll want to be right with God even tonight. If you have not become a Christian and you understand the plan of salvation of confessing Christ as a penitent sinner and being buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins, how could anybody who really has self-respect and self-esteem believe we were created in the image of God and shall live for an eternity, want to be anywhere else except in Christ? And if you are in Christ and you've not really had that kind of self-esteem and self-respect, and because of that you've let yourself wander away a little bit and are not as close to God in Christ as you ought to be and need to come for prayers, I really believe if you will apply self-respect and self-esteem, and you're not right with Christ, that you'll want to come in that direction as together we stand and sing.
Is Just as I am.